Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Augustine Weta. We'll go outside the friar with Father Leonard and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Father Augustine Weta. He's a Benedictine monk at St. Louis Abbey in Missouri. And tonight, he's telling us about his new book, Pray, Think, and Act, Using the Wisdom of the Desert Fathers to Make Decisions in Life.
It's always great having Father Weta here on the show. He brings a lot of joy, a lot of humor, but also a lot of serious conversations. It's very intentional about what he says that relates into a lot of the difficulties that we do run into with prayer. So we're now going to Outside the Friary with Father Leonard.
I am outside the friary with Father Patrick and Brother John. This time we are not leaving the friary, we are returning to the friary from the great state of Texas. Our trip began last Thursday. We drove to Frisco, Texas to attend the Young Catholic Professional Conference. There we teamed up with EWTN employees to help promote the network. We had a great time there meeting fantastic people, attending talks, mass, visiting the other exhibits, and going to the gala. The conference ended Sunday afternoon. Then we went to lunch. We had a great lunch.
We are at In-N-Out Burger in Frisco, Texas. I've eaten a lot of In-N-Out throughout my life growing up in California. But within the last couple of years, In-N-Out has opened up in Texas. So we're gonna taste and we're gonna see if In-N-Out is the same in Texas as it is in California. And as you can see, there is a huge long line. So that means it most likely is delicious.
Thank you, appreciate it.
We're about to eat in our burger, and we're going to pray, bless us, O Lord, and these are gifts about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to try this burger, see if it's just the same as California. In-N-Out is excellent everywhere. It's in a class of its own. You got these fresh fries. You gotta eat them while they're hot. If they get cold, they don't taste as good. Look at that there. Yeah. Cheers.
After lunch, we drove to Shiner, Texas. We visited Brother John's family. They gave us generous and gracious hospitality. Well, in Shiner, we visited St. Cyril and St. Methodius Parish. Deacon Joe gave us a tour of the church and of St. Ludmila Academy and St. Paul High School. From there, we took a tour of the Shiner Beer Brewery and then went out to the country. Now we are right outside of Lafayette, Louisiana, about 6 hours away from the friary. So we thank you for watching this episode of Outside the Friary. Please like, comment, share, subscribe. Tell all your friends about it. Know that we are praying for you. And until next time, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father Augustine Weta, welcome to Life on the Rock.
It's a great pleasure, Father Mark.
Your third time.
Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a while.
The last time I was here, it was, I think, 1 BC, before coronavirus.
Wow. Right. And so we're having you on to talk about your book, Pray, Think, and Act, Make Better Decisions with the Desert Fathers. And you are a Benedictine monk of St. Louis Abbey there in Missouri. And I just want to say this off the bat, some people might not know, but you have Parkinson's, so your hand trembles a little bit, so.
I do. So yeah. If I do like this, uh-huh. I'm not angry. Don't wave back. It's just me. Yeah. Too much rugby. 18 years of rugby and just got hit in the head a few too many times.
Right. Well, you're a powerful witness for us all. And what I love about your writings is that you tap into the Desert Fathers, this collected wisdom from these early century monks. Tell us a little about who they are, what they did.
Well, the original fathers, they had a real problem on their hands because this was the 3rd century AD, 4th century, and they really, really wanted to get martyred. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't anybody martyring Christians anymore, so they had to think of something to do with themselves. Mm-hmm. And their solution was what they called the white martyrdom, which mm-hmm. was to go off and isolate yourself mm-hmm. and try to pursue a life of perfection. I mean, they had some real problems because their theology wasn't particularly advanced, but they knew that they had to be perfect because mm-hmm. Jesus said, be perfect. Right. And they knew they needed to pray without ceasing mm-hmm. and that they needed to keep the demons at bay, but they didn't really know how. mm-hmm. And they knew that the second they started praying that they were going to be plagued by distractions. So they would go out singly or in groups and compete with one another to see who could be the holiest or the humblest. They're wonderful, like cranky old men, some of them. But they call themselves the Athlete Dei, the athletes of God.
Yeah, and
they do things like go out into the desert and insult each other and see who is the most humble. or he'd say, well, in fact, there's a great story about, I think, Abba Antony and Abba Paphnutius, that Abba, I could be getting the names wrong, but I believe Abba Antony said to Paphnutius, I have lived for a year and a half without eating anything but bread. Mm-hmm. And Paphnutius says, that's impressive. I've lived a year and a half without being angry. Anthony says, well, you win.
Well, they lived in isolation, right, as hermits, but they also would come together.
Sure, sure. And sometimes, like, there's somebody famous, like Peter Brown, some scholar of the ancient world, said that they turned the desert into a bustling city. Mm-hmm. That so many of these guys, that it was such a... Well, it just occurs to me right now. I love being on this show because I always think about things in different ways. But when they went out into the desert, of course, they were seeking solitude. But then everybody wanted to be just like them. And the thing was that the world as they knew it was falling apart, right? There were horrible diseases that nobody could find a cure for. Mm-hmm. And there were gangs of kids running around the streets and terrible scandals in politics, terrible scandals in the church even. Not at all like our age, right? And so this was an attempt to get away from all those distractions. Mm. But the problem was that so many were trying to get away that they kind of filled up all the monasteries with people, and their life of solitude turned into sort of a circus sometimes. Sometimes literally, I mean, they had animals and tricks and all kinds of things.
Right. And the region they were in, like some were in Egypt, right? Egypt,
yeah, the originals were all around a place called Skeet in the desert between, say, Egypt and Alexandria.
Okay. And they're speaking from, like, experience. And there's a richness and a simplicity, and they teach their spirituality through stories. Talk about the importance of that.
Well, they were hesitant to give advice, these guys. Mm-hmm. We were talking before mm-hmm. the show about how monks are very reluctant to engage in anything that resembles spiritual direction mm-hmm. because maybe it's because of our emphasis on humility that we dare not direct anyone. But one of my favorite stories that I can't even remember whether it made the book or not is that one of the Desert Fathers used to fall asleep while he was praying. Mm-hmm. And he did it so often that he started praying on the side of a cliff because that would keep him awake. And during one of his prayers, an angel appeared to him mm-hmm. and said, "Abba, this is a stupid idea. Stop it. It's dangerous. Don't ever do it again. And don't teach anyone else to do it either." Mm. And that's the whole story right there. But yeah. I love it because, for one thing, they didn't take themselves too seriously, obviously. Mm-hmm. But number two, we only know that story because the Abba must have told it on himself, right? Somebody must have come to him for advice, and he said, "You know, I don't know why you're coming to me. Like, an angel had to appear to me and tell me I was praying wrong." Right, you know.
Well, let's talk about your book and specifically. It's called "Pray, Think, and Act," and I love this because
not to be confused with "Eat, Pray, Love," right? Okay, I'll tell you a secret. Well, not a secret now, right? But. That I originally, Dawn, have you had Dawn Eden on the show? She's a wonderful author.
Yeah.
But she suggested, and I thought it was a great idea, that I call the book "How You Dune." But the editors at Ignatius were like, too cute. You know? So shout out to Dawn Eden. But Pray, Think, Act was what we ended up going with.
Yeah, and what I love about that is, like, we say our prayers. This is my version, kind of. I know you have much more nuance, and we're going to talk about that. But just, like, we pray, we seek God's will, you know, and have that part right, that we're seeking to serve God. We think. We use our reason, our intellect. God gave us brains. We're called to use them. And then you got to act, right? You got to make a decision. And it's simple in that sense, but you really break it down. And let's talk about prayer, the first part of it. You talk about retreating from the world, right? Withdrawing from the world. Why is that so important?
Well, I mean, I think that we have a tendency to jump right into the analysis, right? Mm-hmm. I was telling someone, actually I was telling the guy who was in reception right out in front, that, like, this is a classic case of those who can't do teach, right? Like, mm-hmm. I am a terrible decision maker. I can't decide what I'm going to have for dinner, much less, like, make a vocational discernment. Yeah. But for some reason, the abbot decided to put me in charge of vocation, so mm-hmm. I thought, well, I better start thinking about this more carefully. But I tend to say, oh my God, I have this horrible decision to make, and then launch straight into it without taking the time to settle down. One of the great stories of the Desert Fathers is that these three guys decide to become saints. And one guy goes off and works with the poor, and one guy goes off and tries to make peace, and the other guy just goes off in the desert and sits. And the two that went off into the world to work miracles come back disappointed. And they say, well, let's go find that other guy. And when they find him, he's just sitting in his cell, as happy as can be. And they say, well, what did we do wrong? Mm-hmm. He says, well, give me a bowl of water. So they bring out a bowl of water. And he says, now each of you go grab me a handful of dirt. So they're like, okay. And he says, now throw the dirt in the bowl. And they do. And he says, now what do you see? And they say, a bowl of dirty water, right? And he goes, well, wait a few minutes. Now what do you see? They say, well, still all we see is a bowl of dirty water. He leaves them there all night, and in the morning, he says, now what do you see? And they go, ah, of course, right? Because then they saw their reflections. And his point was, like, until you let the mud settle, you can't even know yourself, right? Until you let the dust, well, in American slang, until you let the dust settle, you're in no shape to make a real decision at all. So retreating from it, and in a prayerful way, right? Mm-hmm. Not just counting to 10, though that's a pretty good piece of advice as well. But retreating in the presence of Jesus, like putting yourself deliberately in God's presence so that he can have a say, right?
Well, we got to take a short break. We'll be back in just a minute. So we're talking about the prayer aspect of making a decision. Part of that, too, we talked about retreating, but also repenting, right? Being converted, repenting of sin.
Right, because nothing will cloud your vision like sin, right? Right. I don't say a lot of marriages, right? I'm just a monk, and if people want to come to me, they got to make me a lot of, they got to really be committed to it. But I'm fond of saying to them, you know, you really got to stop sleeping together, because a mortal sin is no way to start a relationship,
right.
But sin is no way to start anything. Mm-hmm. And usually, I mean, honestly, most of my decisions I've made, like today, started with something stupid I did to create the situation I think my way out of. And really, nothing will cloud your vision like sin.
Right. So in
truth, the sacrament of confession, of course, I think is a great way to start. Partly because it wipes the slate clean, right? But also because it gives you this extra grace. We had a monk years ago, now he's an abbot actually, who left the monastery and then came back. And when he came back, I was in a funk, I guess. And I said, well, why'd you bother? And he said, you know, I missed the clarity of vision. And that really stuck with me, because it's, when you make confession a regular, and penance a regular part of your life, it really does kind of clear things up. I remember a couple of months after joining the monastery that it felt a little like putting on glasses for the first time, that I could see things that I couldn't see before. We run a prep school, my monastery, and the kids are convinced that the monks have magic powers. Because, you know, some kid will look kind of down, and you'll say, hey, are you all right? And they'll say, you looked into my soul, you know? And you say, no, it's just that I spent 5 minutes in silence this morning, and you know, when you're quiet like that, you begin to see things in other people, right? You don't look very good. You look like you stayed up all night. But it's so easy to get so wound up in your own thoughts and your emotions and your anger and your...
And our motivations need to be purified,
right?
Through repentance. That might be messing up the decision we're trying to make as well.
Right. Or it may preclude the decision altogether.
Now, did you talk about rebuilding as well, and as part of prayer?
It is. Although I want to backtrack for a second, if I may, which is that, like, a lot of people will say to me, and I'm sure they've said to you, they say to every priest, I don't know why I'm here. I'm just going to sin again, right? But that's like saying, like, I don't know why I should brush my teeth. I'm just going to get food all over them tomorrow anyway, right? But it's not just that it wipes the slate clean. It's not just that it gives you extra power. It's that repeating the penance over and over again has a way of kind of subtly cleaning your soul over time. The accumulated effect of all that penance has its effect as well.
I know, reading some of your quotes about repentance too, it gives you a certain peace, because I think sometimes, like in the West too, it's like, you know, we're told we need to be perfect in holiness.
Or worse, we're told that we're perfect just the way we are.
But like we can feel this pressure to do it on our timeline, to get it done. Why aren't I further along? I'm always taking my time. You know, and it seemed like the Desert Fathers are just out of that spiritual rat race.
I was in Seattle not too long ago, and I was talking to the CEO who had just retired, and he said, you know, one of the problems I have with new employees is that they come in and they say, look, I'm just not getting anywhere in this job. I don't feel that there's a future for me. My colleagues don't like me. I feel unsettled. And I say to them, look, you've only been on the job for like 2 weeks. So, like, give it some time. It's so easy to, you know, I don't want to blame the internet or social media. It's too easy. But let me blame the internet and social media. That all this bouncing around online and in our heads has given us a permanent sort of state of distraction. We had a bunch of Buddhist monks visit the monastery a very long time ago. And they would talk about monkey mind, that when they pray, that there are all these sort of, I love the image of all these monkeys saying, oh, stop it. But
swinging from branch to branch.
It's, and you really, when you're surfing the internet or watching YouTube videos,
you're
or
drunk
whatever,
on novelty, right?
That you're constantly moving. I read somewhere that online newspapers, they do not encourage their authors to write a conclusion because the goal is to make you move on before you finish the article. In a world like that, it seems to me it'd be very hard to slow down long enough to make a wise decision.
Right. And the rebuilding part of it, you talk about the environment, right? To encourage, like changing your, like physically changing your environment, right?
Right. Well, I did a lot of, I don't know why I love psychology books so much, but I read a lot of sort of pop psychology and real psychology. And this whole field of decision making is very hip right now, so lucky for me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they talk about pretty consistently is that basically people who make great decisions don't tend to be any better than any of the rest of us. Like people who lose weight or quit smoking, they just set up their environment so that they make, they actually did these like experiments with people where they took like really disciplined people and really undisciplined people, put them in the same situation, and the disciplined people didn't do any better than the non-disciplined. A skinny person was just as likely to eat the cupcake as the fat guy. The thing is, the skinny person, when he goes home, takes a cupcake and rubs it around in the dirt and throws it in the trash can, right? So that he can't eat the cupcake later on. And I'm gonna get the study wrong, but I guess there are a bunch of fat kids in Texas or something, because this experiment, I think they did in Dallas, with all these overweight grade school kids, all they did was put the salad bar first, and like man for man or kid for kid, they lost like 2 or 3 pounds a piece, but just because they filled up their plates with salad and didn't have enough room for the Cheetos and the cupcakes, right? So that's what I find kind of depressing, but also kind of cool as well, that I don't have to have enormous self-discipline to change my life. I could just change my environment, rebuild the world around me, hang out with it. Any addict will tell you that you don't go sober and then go hang out at a bar, hang out with your heavy drinking friends. You gotta find a new circle of friends. You gotta find people who support what you do. If you wanna become a weightlifter, you gotta join a gym. You don't just buy a set of weights and the classic, you buy the set of weights that sits in your basement for the rest of the year and gets rusty. You guys have a set of weights in your
business. We do, yeah.
It's not rusty, though. Father Leonard's looking pretty
He's our big weightlifter.
Buff all of a sudden. Yeah.
Well, we've covered prayer, so we're going to do a second show with you,
and
we're going to do Think and Act. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I love it.
Yeah. This is a part one of a two-part show. He's got a lot to say, obviously. I loved his point tonight about just settling down, quieting the inner man, getting rid of the distractions, and it helps us to simplify things and make a decision.
Yeah, I think we talk about a lot on this show, but we do live in a world where there's just so many distractions. But just that time to get away, to pray, to really clear our thoughts, to think about them, there's a lot of grace in those moments whenever we actually put that into practice. But a lot of times we can talk ourselves out from even doing something very simple. And it doesn't have to be much, but just even starting just 5 minutes a day or 10, or maybe just even waking up a little bit early, just have those moments of reflection and thought. And I love the point that he makes that, sin, it clouds our vision, and how true that is. Mm-hmm. And we can make so many bad decisions in the midst and throes of just that element of sin that does, it blocks, it just creates such an obstacle to our understanding.
Yeah, and the church fathers emphasized a lot about, not leaving the cell and staying in one position, not moving around. And modern Benedictines, they'll take a vow of stability and things. And because novelty can be so distracting, be very stimulating, mm-hmm. but it can fracture our concentration, and we lose, I don't know, we lose that simplicity, I think, that it's good to have, you know, in making decisions. I liked his point too about repentance, mm-hmm. that's a continual
yeah.
journey for the Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we need to check our motivation. Maybe I'm taking too much on. Maybe I'm trying to do too much. Is my motivation just to look good or to seem like I got it all together? And I'm trying to make a decision and all that.
Yeah. Right? And I love the analogy that he uses about, you know, brushing our teeth. It's like, yeah, we may have to go to confession again because we sin. You know, it's built in our nature. But, you know, we don't get just tired of just brushing our teeth. There's a purpose to that. We do strive to make ourselves better, you know, and it's a slow battle at times. But again, there's moments of grace where we do see just great progress.
Yeah, St. Benedict himself had the monks make a vow about mm-hmm. this daily repentance, this daily call to examine our lives, to repent from sin. And one thing I loved about some of the quotes he had in his book was that our struggle with sin is to be expected. You know, we have temptations from Satan and everything. You know, we have to turn to God. It doesn't matter if we keep being tempted, but we turn to God. Or we have to maybe, if we fall into repent and get moving again, that's part of the Christian life.
You know, in the Benedictines, they've produced many saints and yeah. really beautiful spiritual writing because they have been in that combat with sin and temptation.
Right, right. So. We'll send you into that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He grant you counsel, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to make decisions and to follow the path the Lord has laid out for you. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Breath of God, breathe your life into the depths. Oh.